Swear that your oath will last until I release you from it, Richter told him. Swear that even if I die and never return, you will hold to your pledge.
I do so swear, the Chamberlain intoned.
Swear that you will give me honest counsel, and that you will support me to the fullest of your abilities, skills, talents, and capabilities.
Randolph Phineas did not hesitate.
I do so swear.
The already oppressive weight in the room increased. Richter spoke a final time. Swear that you will hold your oath to me with the same respect and importance as any other oath, past or present. Swear that you will not take any action to compromise me, my village, or my interests, even if it conflicts with other oaths, before you speak to me and tell me why.
Randolph Phineas's eyes widened, and for the first time, Richter saw him look uncomfortable.
This was the main point. The Chaosseed wouldn't force a man he trusted and respected to betray his values or conscience. Richter also couldn't let such considerations compromise his own goals and needs, though. He was basically asking Randolph Phineas to confront him before the man did something Richter might object to. The Chamberlain would have to look him in the eye and admit he was about to betray him. It was entirely possible that only one of them would walk away from that conversation. The blood continued to fall. Pat. Pat. The Chamberlain's discomfort lasted but a moment before he answered slowly and deliberately,
I do so swear.
Richter spoke a word of power, and a golden radiance surrounded his hand. He reached out and clasped Randolph Phineas's bloody palm, healing the wound. The Chaos Seed maintained his grip and rested his other hand upon his Chamberlain's shoulder.
I accept your oath of blood and fealty, and swear to honor your pledge with the same gravity in which it was given.
The still moment passed, and the universe moved its gaze beyond the two men. Randolph Phineas's face took on a look of pleased relief, and Richter's own face broke into an involuntary grin. Long ago he had decided that when he was faced with an impossible choice, when the futures of all paths were equally shadowed, when the countless possibilities of either choice either balanced out or were hopelessly confusing, that he would make a decision based on what he hoped to be true, rather than by what he feared to be true. It was possible that this could be a mistake, but it was his choice, and that was what mattered. Besides, the land itself seemed to give its approval of his decision. Randolph Phineas, the Half-Undine, has become your companion. Companions will stay with you only as long as your goals align.
The glow faded from Richter's hand, and the two men stood there, blood laying between them, united in purpose.
Chapter 12, Day 141, Qyburn 31, 0, AOC. With Randy a companion, Richter now had access to his full status page. What he saw raised even more questions. Name, Randolph Phineas. Profession, rogue. Level, 47, 60%. Race, half-human, half-undine. Specialty, spy. Focus, counterintelligence. Languages, common, elvish, dwarvish, gnomish, sprite-speak, goblin, trollish, orcish. List continues. Reputation, level 3. You seem like someone worthy of my attention. Age, 109. Alignment, chaotic, 1. Evil, 1. Stats. Health, 581. Mana, 412. Stamina, 353. Attributes. Strength, 29. Agility, 54. Dexterity, 52. Constitution, 43. Endurance, 32. Intelligence, 36. Wisdom, 57. Charisma, 59. Luck, 57. Resistance. Water, plus 71%. Spell power. Water, plus 36%. Weakness. Fire, 34%. Abilities. Pleasing visage. Those that look upon you will find you trustworthy and attractive. Evian Royal. A member of the royal family of Eve. Undine's Deception.
can disguise your intrinsic self and become another persona. New persona must have abilities and skills weaker than your true self. You will only have access to the capabilities of this new persona. Qualities. Ruthless, 2. Up to plus 10% chance of critical hit when using small blades. Up to plus 50% critical damage. Aura of menace. Enemies may fear you. Plus 1 evil alignment. Loyal, 3. Your deeds have proven you to be trustworthy. People are 75% more likely to believe you. Plus 750% to negative consequences of breaking a vow, oath, or other binding gesh. Obsessed, 4. Your dogged obsession with an oath has led to many sacrifices, but has also strengthened your will. Plus 40% to willpower and resistance to mental or emotional control. Marks. Adventurer. Obscured vision. Dark deeds. Richter wasn't even sure where to start. The status page was entirely too massive at first, mostly thanks to the listing of the man's skills. Apparently a century was enough time to amass an insane amount of skills. Many of them were still novice rank, but it was still an insane amount. A mental tweak was all it took to minimize them, and Richter promised himself he'd go through them later. One that did pop out to him, though, was that the spy was level 41 in administration, which could definitely come in handy. With the page more manageable now, he carefully read through the prompts 3 times. Randolph Phineas must have known that his status screen was now available, as he had access to Richter's as well, but he just remained still, waiting. The first thing that bothered Richter, and that he felt needed to be addressed, was that the guy was literally evil. He felt a bit better when he saw that the negative alignment was due to a quality Randy had acquired. Then again, that quality was ruthless. Nope, Richter corrected himself. Ruthless too! When he asked the spy how he felt about the alignment, the response was simple. The concept of good and evil had come to Richter's mind many times since being in the land. He had met slavers, thieves, and murderers. On Earth, he would have had no problem labeling them as evil. Richter wasn't one to shy away from harsh truths, however. His use of the spell Charm made others into slaves of a sort. He had stolen, and in just 6 months, he had already killed hundreds, perhaps thousands, of people. Many with the blade and in battle, but when the situation had called for it, he had also killed in cold blood. His closest allies, the sprites, were also almost uniformly positive alignment, or what was now being called good. He knew for a fact, though, that the sprites had no problem killing as well. Sprites had a standing shoot-to-kill order for any other species they found in their territory. Their reasoning was that they were protecting the forest. It might have been true, but the sprites were also just classically xenophobic. Did that make them evil? Richter knew in his heart that it didn't, but he also wouldn't say they were exactly good, either. Since coming to the land, his definitions of good and evil had become decidedly more accommodating. My actions have earned me qualities and my alignment. I cannot say that it is not a fair assessment. I only ask that you judge me based on my entire status screen, as well as my actions. That was a fair request, Richter decided. The whole topic of good versus evil had bothered him since coming to the land. His best friend had a good alignment, several times over, but he'd still let Richter be eaten alive while he'd just watched. The sprites actually had a long history of xenophobic killings. There was definitely an argument to be made that such actions could be evil, though the other argument could also be made that in a world of goblins and monsters, it was for the common good that a people protect their borders. Richter personally believed in the benefits of a diverse society, but that was him. At the end of the day, he realized that he still wasn't sure exactly what good or evil meant. The best definition he'd come up with dealt with intent and consideration. If you took the needs of others into account when you took an action, then you were good. If you only thought about yourself, then you were evil. Of course, the holes in that logic were big enough for a hippo in a Hummer to drive through, but it was better than nothing. The main fear that Richter had was that the terms might not be just descriptive. What if someone with an evil alignment had to do horrible and selfish acts because the mechanics of the land itself forced them to do so? Philosophers had been tackling this particular question since consciousness had evolved on Earth and hadn't made any headway. Richter was willing to bet it was the same in the land, and the only ones who felt they had a definitive answer were normally perpetrators of the worst acts imaginable. Any action, no matter how heinous, could be called justified if you had a righteous cause to drive you forward and you were acting in the common good. It wasn't like alignment was the only thing on Randy's status sheet anyway. The man had literally been commended by the universe for his loyalty 3 times. It didn't mean the man couldn't ever break his word, but there was no ambiguity about the increased penalty if he were to do so. Considering everything the spy had sworn on when making his blood oath, if he ever broke trust with Richter, he'd be in a world of shit. In fact, considering there was a 750% increase in penalties, the guy might actually get Walter pecked. Instead of gallons of marshmallow dropping from the sky, though, it might literally be a god-sized dollop of toxic shit. When you looked at it that way, Richter had more reason to trust Randy than almost anyone else. The pleasing visage ability made him a bit uncomfortable as well. It seemed that the man was intrinsically more likely to make others trust him. An extremely useful skill for a spy, Richter supposed, but how could he be sure about his own choices? It all came back down to the blood oath and the fact that Richter had already decided to trust him. Either he was in or he was out. He was in. Richter waved the spy back down into his seat. He decided that if he wished for the two of them to trust each other, then he needed to show trust in turn. Now that they were companions, Richter felt comfortable sharing a few facts he hadn't disclosed yet.
"You ushered in the new age?"
the Chamberlain exclaimed in disbelief. Richter nodded and told him about the chaotic shard, the release of energy, and how it had triggered the end of the epic of banished gods and started the Age of Chaos. "What exactly did you see here in the village when the New Age began?" Richter asked. The Chamberlain shook his head as if he still couldn't believe what he had seen. "The sky rippled, like a pond struck with a stone. Only the stone was the size of a moon. The sun had risen, but the blue disappeared, and nothing was between me and the starry cosmos. Then a new sky reappeared, but it was filled with green clouds and floating islands the size of cities. A few seconds later, another sky appeared, and then another. The shifts began to occur faster and faster until the stars appeared again. They raced across the sky as if 1,000 years had passed in a moment. Slowly, they stilled again, and I could see the original stars once more. The sky rippled one last time, and the blue of mid-morning reappeared."
"Was there anything else?" Richter asked. He was kind of pissed that he had missed such an awesome show. He had been stuck underground when the New Age began, and it seemed a bit unfair that he had missed the light show when he was the reason it had happened. He huffed in irritation. "Whatever." Randolph Phineas thought for a moment before speaking. "I was only able to see our original sky for a moment before the blue of day returned, but I thought I saw a few more stars than there should have been. As I said, however, it was for just a moment. I could have been mistaken. I checked once night fell and did not see any extra stars then."
Richter filed that information away and just kept on asking questions. In addition to the revelations already shared about his Chamberlain's past, there were other, more welcome surprises.
"I have gained many skills over my century of life, Lord Richter. Now that we are companions, I am sure that you can see them. I will be happy to share them with you as well as my knowledge. You would most likely be interested in my 3 masteries first. I am a master of water magic, small blades, and stealth."
"A master?" Richter asked, his eyes widening. "That means you can teach magic?"
"I was hoping that you would be interested, my lord." "By your leave." Randolph Phineas raised both hands.
The Chaos Seed nodded eagerly, and the Chamberlain placed one hand on Richter's head and the other one on his chest. A cool, crisp feeling spread through his body, and with it came knowledge. His eyes widened, and he knew.
"Congratulations, you have learned the spell Weak Find Water.
Casting this spell allows you to sense sources of water within 100 feet of your location. This is a spell of water magic, level 1. Cost 17 mana. Duration 10 minutes. Range 100 feet. Cast time 1 second. Cooldown not applicable. Congratulations, you have learned the spell Summon Weak Aether Carp. This spell summons a level 4 magical fish to serve you. This is a spell of water magic, level 5. Cost 42 mana. Duration 12 minutes. Range 7 feet. Cast time 3 seconds. Cooldown 43 minutes. Congratulations, you have learned the spell Teatro's Weak Water Casting. This spell, created by the water wizard Teatro, allows you to cast novice rank water, life, and dark spells while underwater. This is a spell of water magic, level 4. Cost 65 mana. Duration 2 hours. Range self. Cast time 4 seconds. Cooldown 1 day. Congratulations, you have learned the spell Weak Purified Drink. This spell will clear a cup, flask, skin, or other small holding container of any weak impurities, poisons, or diseases. This is a spell of water magic, level 3. Cost 16 mana. Duration, instant. Range, 4 feet. Cast time, 2 seconds. Cooldown, not applicable. Congratulations, you have learned the spell Weak Water Damage. This spell will add plus 1 water damage to any weapon, provides plus 1% chance to afflict a struck enemy with weak slow, decreasing their movement and attack speed by 10%. This is a spell of water magic, level 3, cost 26 mana, duration 22 minutes, range 5 feet, cast time 1 second, cooldown 27 minutes. Congratulations, you have learned the spell Weak Swift Swim. This spell increases your swimming speed by 50%. This is a spell of water magic, level 4. Cost 28 mana. Duration 8 minutes. Range touch. Cast time 1 second. Cooldown 21 minutes. Richter fell to the ground gasping. Arcane equations and calculations spun through his mind as his lungs seized. His neurons screamed as they realigned to accommodate so much new information. Spell theory that had taken months, years, or lifetimes to create became as familiar to him as tying his shoes. Randolphinius reached down to help him up.
Are you all right, my lord?
Yes, Richter replied. It just always feels like a kick to the mind nuts. The Chamberlain blinked once or twice before a small smile stole across his face.
Yes, my lord. It can be. Still, it is impressive that you can retain so many spells at such a low water magic skill level.
A flash of adrenaline shot through Richter's body.
What do you mean, impressive? Merely that I did not believe you would be able to absorb all 6 spells. I thought perhaps 3, maybe 4, but learning all 6 is quite a feat. It speaks well for your future growth as an aquamancer.
Richter's head still ached, and it put him a bit on edge.
Why wouldn't I be able to absorb all the spells at once? What is it I don't know?
Randolphinius blinked twice, then said carefully,
You do know that there is a limit on the number of spells that one can learn, do you not, my lord?
News to me, Richter said, sitting back down on the bed. His temples were throbbing. Alma had been looking worriedly at her master, but once he was off the floor, she relaxed. Before Randolphinius had bent the knee, she had been ready to attack the man if needed. She had planned on unleashing a Psy Blast, followed by a quick casting of Weak Lightning Bolt. Then she would have physically attacked and tried to use her Psy Poison on the Chamberlain. She was smart enough to understand how tense the situation had been. Even though she'd liked the Chamberlain before, if he had posed a risk to her master, he would already be dead. She knew that as surely as she knew scale scratches were heaven. Now that the moment had passed, the Dragonling found she was glad an attack hadn't been necessary. Not because she was afraid of violence. Fresh blood was even better than scale scratches, but she had always liked the Chamberlain. Both men were unaware of the thoughts passing unseen behind Alma's draconian eyes. Instead, the Chamberlain was pondering what Richter had just said. His liege had made the comment in an off-handed fashion, but he'd seen him use magic from all 8 basic elements and some deeper magic. Was it possible that Richter really didn't have a limit to the spells he could know at one time? Randolphinius licked his lips as if tasting the idea. That was more than a little bit unnerving for Richter because it once again revealed the sharpness of the half-undine's teeth.
I do not have a rare skill like your analyze, my lord, but my profession allows me a talent to know the skills you possess and what their levels are. I know, for instance, that your highest level magic skill is air. It is level 15 and is followed by fire at level 12. Then life and earth magic, which are both level 11. Your water magic, in contrast, is only level 5. What I do not know is how many spells you possess in total, my lord. Would you mind telling me?
Richter looked at the man and considered the request. He didn't really see a reason not to share. He was already trusting Randy with his life and his training, after all. It was just against his nature to share personal information unless absolutely necessary. He pushed his suspicion back down and decided to answer. But he also decided against providing the names of every spell. He accessed his spell list and began to count. 7 air magic spells. 12 earth magic spells. 2 fire magic spells. 8 water magic spells. 21 life magic spells. 1 death magic spell. 7 light magic spells. 6 dark magic spells. 3 blood magic spells. 1 spirit magic spell. 1 chaos magic spell. 1 unaligned magic spell. 3 settlement magic spells.
Richter did a final tally of his spells, overwhelmed by the number despite himself.
72.
72?
Randolphinius exclaimed. The reserve he normally wore with unthinking grace disappeared, and all that remained was astonishment.
Even if they were all low-level spells of the basic elements, that is unheard of for one of your skill level.
Richter wasn't sure how he should feel about that. He kept watching Randolphinius, who was now muttering to himself. One phrase the Chaos Seed heard clearly was,
"Would not even need a grimoire. Could this ability truly..."
This went on for a full 3 minutes. He finally looked back at Richter, who was staring at him bemusedly at this point.
"I apologize, my lord, but I do not think you understand how shocking this is. It is easy to forget there is much you do not know when faced with the power you wield. I will attempt to explain. One of the primary reasons Magi invest heavily into intelligence and wisdom is to increase the number of spells they can learn. Other factors affect spell limit as well, such as skill affinity, skill level in various schools of magic, race, and several others. Increasing intelligence and wisdom, however, is the easiest way to ensure a higher spell limit."
"How many spells did you think I would be able to know?"
Randolphinius shrugged. "As I said, my lord, there are many factors that influence that. My mixed parentage gave me an extremely high spell limit for water magic, even before I became a master in the skill. The fact that you know multiple types of magic would increase your spell limit as well. For a normal novice in a basic element, however, I would expect them to know no more than 5 to 10 spells. That is why almost every battle mage must rely upon wands, staves, or grimoires."
The Chamberlain paused for a moment before continuing.
"The spell limit is one of the reasons magi are vulnerable. It is not just a lack of mana that can spell death for a caster. It is knowing a finite number of spells. It is also why magi typically specialize not only in a certain branch of magic, but also in specific spell schools. Battle mages do not learn domestic or agricultural magic, for instance."
"Why haven't I ever heard about this before?" Richter asked. "Why don't I ever have a problem learning spells?"
Randolphinius shook his head slowly. "I do not know for certain, but I would guess it is your limitless ability."
Richter stared at him. When he had been transported to the land, the creature he had first met, Zutrix, had told him to be wary of telling other people about his limitless ability. Specifically, the imp had said there were those that would neutralize him now out of fear of what he would become. Randolphinius was no fool, though, and they were companions now, so the man already had access to his status page. He just nodded slowly. The spy whistled softly before saying, "You could very well become the most powerful being in the land. I advise you to tell no one else about your ability, my lord. Many will consider you a threat and might destroy you before you reach your potential." Deja vu much? Richter thought to himself. He just nodded again, though, and thought about the new info. If the man was right, that a spell limit was partially based on magical affinity, and his affinity was infinite, then it made sense. It also meant he might have a real edge over other casters. That sounded more than all right to him. Richter asked another question. If you didn't think I'd be able to learn all the spells, then why did you teach them to me? That is just a common technique to test new magical students, Randolphinius replied absently. It gives a good indication of how far a student might one day progress. He was still lost in thought, considering the implications of his liege's ability and magical powers. It's a very common practice? Richter asked, something clicking in his mind. The Chamberlain nodded, and the Chaos Seed cursed softly. It now made more sense why Hisako had given him so many life spells all at once. She had been helping him, yes, but she had been testing him as well. If she didn't know about his limitless ability, then she had at least suspected, and now had a bit of proof. He started speaking under his breath. "That wily old... It is especially amazing that you were able to absorb all the spells, seeing as how one of them is rare," Randolphinius began. "And the others are..." "You know," Richter interrupted, "you mentioned something about my analyze skill being rare earlier. Now you're talking about a rare spell." He put the same slight extra emphasis on the word that he had heard Randy use. "What do you mean exactly?" The Chamberlain gave him yet another of those, "Oh, honey," looks. Richter's lips thinned, and he quietly murmured, "God damn it," before speaking up again. "Okay, hit me with it. What the fuck else don't I know?" Shrewdly sensing his liege's fragile emotional state, Randolphinius simply explained that spells had a class system not unlike weapons and items. The rankings were common, uncommon, unusual, scarce, rare, epic, mythic, legendary, and god-tier. Spells with greater rarity were apparently much sought after and cost a great deal more, even if they were low level. Some were even considered priceless and could not be bought. The more rare the spell, the more rare the effect they produced. Sometimes it was just a random and seemingly pointless manifestation, but other times the effects could change the very face of the land. Richter nodded while he reached up and rubbed the necklace he always wore. The Necklace of Scry Defense was one of the first items he had found upon coming to the land. He had come across other magical necklaces, but for some reason, he had always felt the need to stay with this first one. It was supposed to block all but god-level scrying spells. Richter knew he might be completely paranoid, but then again, he caught enemies like crabs in Saigon. And, like his Uncle Ko always said, you were only paranoid if they weren't out to get you. "Well, how do I know how rare my spells are?" Richter asked. "The easiest way is simply to have someone tell you their rarity." Randolphinius then went on to explain that the spell which let Richter breathe underwater was rare. The one that summoned the magic fish was unusual, and the others were common. By reading the correct books, you can increase your lore skill as well. That may allow you to identify the rarity of certain spells. With a lore of one, you should be able to identify any of your spells that are common or uncommon. Anything higher will most likely show up as unknown until you know a sufficient amount of lore. Do you know any, my lord?" Richter did as the spy suggested and accessed the spell list on his interface. To his surprise, Randy was right. Most of his spells did have a classification of common. A few had the word uncommon appear next to them as well. A few others had unknown written next to them, including his settlement, deeper magic, and chaos spells. He'd mostly started reading his lore books so that he could identify magic items. "I'm level one in lore," Richter admitted. "I have a book that is supposed to get me to level two, but..." Randolphinius chuckled slightly. "I understand, my lord. Lore books can be extremely dry. I recommend that you continue your studies, however. Lore can affect many skills and can open up possibilities that otherwise would be closed to you." "I just thought it seemed pointless in light of my analyze skill and my identify enchantments talent," It is true that your analyze is impressive, but that only gives information. Increasing your lore skill can help you with a greater understanding of the land, yourself, and the many creatures and magics of this world. It can even unlock mysteries and offer quests that would otherwise forever stay beyond your grasp. Richter nodded and promised himself that he'd start taking his education seriously again. The Chamberlain went on to explain that skills also had class ranks. The system was the same until it reached Legendary, which was where it ended. Randolphinius said he had heard stories of skills stronger than that, but did not know of any from personal experience. The Chaos Seed hadn't ever tried to qualify his skills by rarity, but he supposed it made perfect sense. Skills arose from affinities, after all. It was only natural that some affinities were more common than others. He already knew that magical affinity was not overly common, for instance, which in turn made magical skill equally rare to find. When he looked at spell books, they also had rarities listed. Richter had always assumed it referred just to the item itself, but now that he was thinking about it, the spell the book contained would probably also be a determining factor. Randolphinius started giving examples. Cooking was an example of a common skill. Martial skills like swordsmanship, shields, and archery were uncommon. Magical affinity in one of the basic elements was unusual or scarce, depending on one's race and other qualifiers. Dwarves were more likely to learn earth magic, for instance, and less likely to learn life magic, Krom to the contrary. High elves were more likely than other races to develop magical talent, so light magic might be only uncommon for their people. They also spoke about abilities. As they were so varied and many times unique, there was no scaling system for them. Many people in the land were not even born with an ability. Randolphinius guessed that Richter's abilities were the equivalent of a rare skill, however, if not epic. The next thing they began speaking about were Richter's new spells. I know many of these are of no value in combat, but I assure you that they are essential to survival in the labyrinth. You will find every conceivable terrain and situation in that place. There may come a time that the first spell I have taught you, how to find water, will be the most useful magic you have. I can see why finding water would be important, Richter acceded. What about the rest? Summon weak aether carp is just as it sounds. It summons a magical fish. The creature has some offensive capability, but it is best used for support. It is at least 5 feet long and can eat smaller creatures. Its true usefulness is that it is an aquatic creature. If you summon it on land, it will die quickly, but if you are in the water, it can be a strong ally. By holding the fish, it can propel you quickly through the water. In addition, using water magic while it is present reduces the casting cost by 2%. It may not seem like much, but it might be the difference between life and death. Richter nodded thoughtfully. This was the first summoning spell he had learned that couldn't successfully be used on land, but he saw the wisdom of having a diverse spell bank. A spell like this might have helped him in his fight against the Scaths, or when he was going after the Shiverleaf fronds. That made him think about the baby Scaths and how he needed to spend some time with them soon. That in turn made him think about how he needed to find a new pet. He felt a surprisingly strong pang of loss as he thought about the Shale Adder. He supposed it wasn't truly dead, as it was now the harbinger of the Dungeon of Bloody Chaos, but he still felt like he had lost something precious. It had been a staunch ally through many battles. The Chaos Seed motioned for Randolphus to continue. Perhaps the most versatile spell I taught you is Teatro's weak water casting. Its rank is rare. The verbal component of spells obviously becomes impossible if your mouth is underwater. This spell allows you to speak clearly despite being underwater. Do not forget, however, that it offers no protection against drowning. If you run out of air, you will die, even if this spell has not elapsed.
Good safety tip, Richter said wryly. He may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer all the time, but he knew that he needed air to live.
The Chaos Seed wasn't complaining about Randy's explanation of the spell, though. He had just become dangerous and deadly underwater.
I must now ask, my lord, Randolphinius began delicately, would you like me to start instructing you in the ways of water magic and rogue skills? If the answer is yes, I only ask 3 things. First, that you keep secret my profession and specialty, unless I give you permission to do otherwise. Second, that we make a concerted effort to explore the labyrinth and hopefully find a node road to the dungeon under Eve. Lastly, when we train, all that matters is my experience. At those times, I must be the master and you the student if I'm going to teach you properly.
Before Richter could respond, a notification window appeared. You have been offered a quest, spells and skills for silence, 1. Your chamberlain and new companion is much more than you ever suspected. Over nearly a century of life, he has garnered many skills, spells, and capabilities. He offers to share them with you freely, but you must make your best effort to explore the labyrinth. Required conditions, 1. Tell no one of his true nature. 2. Submit to Randolph Phineas's direction when actively training with him. Optional condition. Find a path to the dungeon that the royal palace in law is built upon, the Hall of Elemental Hunters. Reward. Instruction in water magic and rogue skills. Penalty for failure or refusal. Possible loss of Randolph Phineas as a villager. Do you accept? Yes or no?
Richter blinked.
On the surface, it sounded like a really good deal. He had already gained a crapload of useful spells from his chamberlain. There was also the point that studying under someone that had reached master rank would let him power level through his skills. His rogue skills were sorely lacking. The Chaos Seed's limitless ability meant he could advance in any direction, but he'd definitely become magic-focused of late. He had a strong suspicion that ignoring other parts of his education would have serious repercussions in the future. The penalty for failure was also the possible loss of Randy altogether. Richter just couldn't imagine running the village without him. On the other hand, the man was a spy. The third condition of following him as a student made logical sense, but he wondered if there were a hidden trap in the words. He really wanted to trust Randolph Phineas. The man had always been awesome, but isn't that what a spy would do? Get his trust and then... Richter had to almost physically get control of himself. No, he had already decided not to do this. Richter looked his companion in the eye. He trusted him, and the man was his companion. It was in the wording. That only happened as long as their goals aligned. There were things Randolph Phineas wasn't telling him. He had admitted as much, but Richter trusted him. There was a question he needed answered first before accepting, though. What do you mean by a node road? In dungeons and the labyrinth, there are nodes scattered throughout. If you touch one of those, you can transport instantly to another location. There is a caveat, however. Every node is part of a vast network. Though I have touched nodes in the Hall of Elemental Hunters, I cannot transport there from this dungeon because I have not touched the nodes in between. The possibilities of that started racing through Richter's mind. So if we can find the nodes between here and there, you could transport us into the Palace of Law? No, my lord, Randolph Phineas said definitively. His voice took on the sing-song aspect heard when someone was repeating an old adage. Dungeons are for adventure, not war. The node road only works for whoever touches that actual node. Even if we found our way all the way to the entrance of the Hall of Elemental Hunters, I still could not transport you to any other location in that dungeon until you touched those nodes yourself. This is also a good time to warn you never to take a large army into the labyrinth. You may have already noticed that your war leader skill does not work in the dungeon. Richter nodded. Yeah, I was meaning to ask you about that. It is because the magic of the labyrinth polices such things. If you enter the dungeon with too large a party, you will gain no drops, and you will also find yourself afflicted with penalties. Blows that should have landed will miss. Attacks your armor should rebuff will find your flesh. There is no way around this. There are cautionary tales of leaders foolish enough to try to take armies within the labyrinth itself. They have each been destroyed to the last man. Taking a party larger than permitted into the labyrinth attracts the very worst and strongest monsters, colossal horrors that none can resist. I will repeat myself, and please, pay heed to this warning, my lord. Dungeons are for adventure, not war. The Chamberlain's tone was deadly serious, and Richter took his warning to heart. That begs the question, though. How many people can I safely take into the dungeon? And does that mean only one group can enter the dungeon at a time?
In answer to your first question, my lord, the standard party of 5 is what is allowed. There are ways to increase this. It is possible to gain an evolution to your mark of the adventurer called logistics that increases party size. There are adventurers who make a living from having increased that particular evolution several times, allowing for much larger party sizes, even if they are not strong fighters themselves. In regards to a limit on the number of parties, I do not know. The Hall of Elemental Hunters is so large and so old that I know of no issues with many parties entering at once. For this dungeon, without having even entered, I cannot say. Richter checked his dungeon interface for an answer, but again, it was a function blocked out saying he needed a dungeon keeper. A prompt he was getting very tired of seeing. Another prompt still hovered in his vision, though, the quest offer. He chose yes. Then he spoke clearly and directly to his chamberlain. I am not a fool. I know that I have much to learn, but I am not a fool. You are a man of secrets. I have ample reasons not to trust you, but I also have many good reasons to give you trust. I choose to keep you with me. More than that, I choose to put my faith in you. Please do not disappoint me or betray our people. There was just the slightest emphasis when he said our, and Richter further punctuated his choice by accessing the dungeon interface. You have given Randolphinius access to the Dungeon of Bloody Chaos. You have given Randolphinius immunity to the doubt effect of the dungeon entrance. The Chamberlain bowed his head and reverentially said, I am honored. The trust you have shown to Randolphinius has not gone unappreciated. Long has he been rejected for his heritage. The fact that you still accept him, and better yet, show understanding of why he initially concealed things from you, has strengthened the bond between the two of you. Allowing him access to the dungeon has made this positive shift in relationship even stronger. You have gained plus 11,178 relationship points with Randolphinius. Total relationship points, plus 31,695. He read and dismissed the prompts, processing the information with a faint smile. His decision to trust was already showing a positive yield. Based on the wording of the prompt, there might have been a decidedly significant drop in their relationship if he had refused the quest. Richter just hoped he wouldn't regret his decision in the long term. Thank you for your trust, my lord, the Chamberlain said with the same appreciative tone. I will not betray it. It was a moment of profound truth, and the two men shared a oneness of purpose that few have ever experienced. That was why Richter couldn't help it.
You got it, Randy.
A strained groan was his only reply. Chapter 13, Day 141, Qyburn 31, 0 AOC. Randolphus, as he begged Richter to call him, continued explaining the spells he'd bequeathed. The Chamberlain made it clear that he didn't want his liege to use his real name, and for the 1,000th time protested being called Randy. Weak purified drink and weak swift swim were obvious and did just what they sounded like. Weak water damage gave Richter cause for concern, though. My weapons are already enchanted, the Chaos Seed protested. Aren't I risking a dangerous mixing of magics if I add water damage to a blade that already has magical damage? It is true that there is some risk, but not with the quality of weapons you use, my lord. I didn't think quality mattered for melding magics, Richter replied. Where did you hear that? From the sprites. Lady Hisako stressed it to me long ago.
Ah, Randolphus commented, nodding in understanding. We are truly fortunate to have the wood sprites as allies, my lord.
He paused to choose his words carefully.
It is always important to cherish the strengths of one's allies, but it is equally important to recognize their weaknesses.
Richter fixed him with a direct look.
Don't dance with your hand on my ass, man. Just make your move.
After a short pause and a disapproving look, which was more than a bit comical on Randy's inhuman fish face, he replied,
Colorful as always, my lord.
What I am trying to say is that while the magic of the sprites is powerful, it is raw. Also, while Lady Hisako is clearly well-read, most of her people know nothing of science. While it is true that magic should not be mixed without care, it is entirely possible. Greater control of your water magic will be something we cover as I teach you. There is more to being an aquamancer than just killing with ice and finding water. For now, I can assure you that between the quality of the blades you wield and the particular metals they are created from, there will be no problem with you using this novice-level spell, even though your weapons are already enchanted. Richter gave him a slightly questioning gaze, and Randolphus laughed, doubting my knowledge already. Remember my third condition. The Chaos Seed's look turned slightly abashed. He had agreed to heed the Aquamancer's expertise. The Chamberlain was only teasing, however. I believe that a questioning mind is the best way to learn. This is good, but in this case, just trust me, my lord. While curiosity can be a boon for learning, trust is essential for me to teach you. Do you agree? Richter nodded. I will trust you, evil spy, he finished with a grin. Thank you, my chaotic liege. These spells I taught you today are only the first step in your education. One day you will be able to benefit from them without even casting. Your inherent magic will allow you to do these things. In a very short amount of time, you will become an initiate in water magic, and I shall teach you the secret rank bonus. Secret rank bonus? How many bombshells was this guy going to drop? It wasn't surprising that a man like Randolphus would know many things, but secret rank bonuses? Richter had always thought it was strange that the rank bonus of his magic skills only gave a bump to spell strength and resistance. Becoming an initiate in archery let him recover some of his magical arrows after firing them, for instance. Initiate rank in light armor gave a 20% boost to defense of each piece he wore. What is it? Richter asked excitedly. Randolphus shook his head. Even if I spoke the words, you could not understand them. Many have tried before. Even writing the words down does not work. People have read them again and again without comprehension. For some, once you reach the appropriate rank, the words may suddenly click. For others, despite years of meditation, instruction, and prompting, they never understand the truth of their skill, and so the secret bonuses elude them. I do not believe that will be the case with you, however, my lord. Why not? Richter asked. Randolphus shrugged. You are stubborn to a fault, and luckier than a boy in a whorehouse made of candy. Richter raised an eyebrow in respect. He kind of liked this new rogue, Randy. Are there secret rank bonuses for every skill? I do not know, Randolphus admitted. I am sure that there are secret bonuses for skills dealing with the other basic elements. It is one of the strengths of the royal family of Eve. They long ago discovered all six hidden rank bonuses for the magic skills they excel in, water, fire, earth, and air. I personally have also discovered secret bonuses for several ranks of stealth. I'm an initiate in stealth, Richter said excitedly. Can you teach me the secret bonus? Everything else fell away, and the old excitement of leveling and gaining more power rose up inside of him. We can start, Randolphus acceded. But again, it may take time. Richter waved away the man's warning and spun his hand in rapid circles to get the man started. The Chamberlain just managed to forestall an eye roll, and he did as he was bid. Randolphus began to speak, but not merely in words. Images appeared in Richter's mind. A bug walking across water, a black silk scarf sliding over black marble, a man reaching out from a darkened alley, ready to choke the life from an unsuspecting woman. Richter tried to hold on to his Chamberlain's exact words, but they faded like smoke in the night. Randolphus stopped speaking and looked at him for a moment before saying, "You do not truly understand stealth yet, my lord. Do not be frustrated. You will." "Wait!" Richter protested. Just tell me again. Patience, my lord, Randolphus told him softly. You will understand soon, but you are not yet ready. Trust me. Richter didn't want to wait, but he'd already misdoubted Randy once. Also, a truth he had learned long ago was that few things were messed up by taking his time, but many things were ruined by moving too quickly. Besides, he had another question.
Okay, that aside, I still don't fully understand the differences between the dungeon and the labyrinth.
A common confusion, my lord. The labyrinth is an entire world. No one knows how large it is, or if it even ends. What is known is that it is a source of great treasure and great danger.
His voice took on the sing-song of recitation again.
The labyrinth hides death and power around the same corner. Each dungeon is part of the labyrinth, but your dungeon won't provide entrance to the labyrinth until it reaches level 10.
So, Richter started thinking about the ramifications.
Adventurers will be coming, my lord.
Because of the beam that shot into the sky? Richter asked. That only lasted for a moment.
Randolphus shook his head. You may have some adventurers try to come over land to find you, but they would have almost no success unless they were already nearby. An unlikely proposition, as we are so far removed from civilization. Even if that were to happen, however, the mists should still protect us. No, my lord. The danger comes not from without, but within. You are the actual master of the dungeon, correct?
The Chaos Seed nodded, and Randolphus continued.
That is good. No adventurers will be able to leave the dungeon without your consent, but this will not last forever. Your dungeon has just been born, and so it is level 1. It will be safe from them until it is level 10, but after that, it will be vulnerable.
Richter nodded for him to continue.
Your dungeon can be destroyed, Randolphus stated simply.
Richter's jaw clenched at the thought of someone coming into his house and trying to cause problems. He was almost tempted to make a chest-beating pronouncement, but Randolphus continued.
If the Harbinger is slain, and the item of power is found and removed from the dungeon, the entrance here will disappear. Everything the dungeon was will just become part of the labyrinth. Even if we dug deep into the earth, we would not find a way back in.
How do we stop that from happening?
Make your dungeon as powerful as you can, as quickly as you can.
Do not let me overly alarm you. Most adventurers only want to claim loot and leave, harvesting a dungeon's item of power. Something that can only occur if the dungeon harbinger is given the true death is a massive undertaking that few would risk. There are those who seek to amass items of power, however. Though their numbers are few, they are extremely powerful. Okay, so we need to watch out for those a-holes and make the dungeon stronger. How do we do that?
The same way you make any monster stronger, the spy replied. You feed it.
I'm not going to send innocent people into that thing to die, Richter said firmly and with a touch of anger.
Was this Randolphus's evil nature shining through?
I would never suggest that, my lord, Randolphus promised him. Honestly, I knew that you would find that idea abhorrent, but it is still good to see your reaction.
The spy's eyes grew hooded. I have served others who were not bothered by such atrocities.
He shook his head.
Though we will not condemn innocence to death, it does not change the fact that one of the best ways to grow the dungeon is to feed it. A steady diet of adventurers will give it the energy it needs. There are multiple ways to accomplish this, but we can discuss them at a later date.
Thankfully, Randolphus continued, it is not only people that can feed the dungeon. It should generate a small amount of power each day in the form of dungeon points, and monsters can also feed it.
This you must also know. Just because adventurers cannot currently enter the dungeon from the labyrinth does not mean that high-level monsters of the labyrinth are under the same restriction. Dungeons are concentrated magic. They will make the density of magical power grow in the areas surrounding them, but they will also concentrate that magic in themselves. That focused power will draw other monsters from the labyrinth into your dungeon. It could happen at any time. With your dungeon being so young, it is unlikely that we will attract high-level monsters at this point, but it is possible.
Okay, so what's the problem with that, though? Richter asked. Obviously, if we're in there when it happens, it will be dangerous, but otherwise it's just monsters killing monsters. Either way, we get the energy and the dungeon grows, right?
That is true, Randolphus conceded, but you are not thinking about the infrastructure of the dungeon. Over time, rooms will develop that provide useful and valuable additions to the dungeon. Traps will be laid, and resources will be developed that can be harvested to boost village growth. All of these things are just expressions of concentrated magic, however, at least until they are taken out of the dungeon. A truly high-level monster from the Labyrinth could kill every dungeon monster, including the Harbinger. It could consume all loot and chests, destroy any room, and then absorb ambient magic from the dungeon and the item of power. There are tales of Labyrinth monsters absorbing every ounce of accumulated energy from a dungeon. It does not kill the dungeon, but such a monster could take so much that the dungeon is forced to start over at level one.
Okay, Richter said. That's bad, too. Got it. But you still haven't answered my original question. What is the Labyrinth? There was more than a touch of exasperation in his voice. He hated not knowing things, and he hated even more being shown the complete depth of his lack of knowledge. He'd always heard about how there was no shame in ignorance, only in willful ignorance that does not seek to correct itself. Richter had always thought that people who said things like that could eat a dick. The Chamberlain saw his lord's irritation and tried again to explain. Every dungeon ever created adds to the Labyrinth. They are entrances and exits from this world to that world. There are unfathomably large areas that comprise the Labyrinth that are not dungeons, but they operate in much the same way. The Labyrinth contains every terrain and situation you can imagine. To even begin to understand, however, you must also add in every dream and nightmare that anyone has ever had, and then add in the wildest thoughts of every child that has not yet been born and that will never be born. Randolphus suppressed a small chuckle at seeing Richter's irritation grow. He'd had a similar reaction nearly 100 years ago when a mentor had said something similarly nonsensical to him. Though the Chamberlain believed in propriety, he was not above having a little secret fun at his lord's expense. With a straight face, Randolphus continued. I know that may be difficult to conceptualize, my lord, but that is by design. There are areas of the Labyrinth that would assault your sanity just from one brief glimpse of them. I have seen and done things that would make some run from me in horror, yet even I am sometimes plagued by memories of what the Labyrinth holds. Add in, then, whatever terrors might fuel your worst nightmares, and you will perhaps have the barest inkling of what you might meet in the Labyrinth. It operates independently of space and sometimes even time. Entering the Labyrinth from this location, you might find another dungeon that lets out on the other side of the planet, though you have only traveled a mile. You cannot even be sure that taking the same path in the Labyrinth will always lead you to the same place. The only sure way to return somewhere are the nodes. Otherwise, you will be trapped in a nightmare that makes demons piss their cloven hooves. The spy shivered. That involuntary reaction, even more than his rare breach of decorum, sold to Richter what Randy was trying to impart. The Labyrinth was not to be trifled with. It was quiet between the two men for a moment, until Richter asked, "The black spike outside of the dungeon? It is a node, my lord." "Then why did a prompt I receive about the dungeon call it a transport sphere, dolphin head?" Randolphus blinked before responding with just a touch of heat.
"If you were a dwarf, it would have been called a Borgasifayan, and if you were a gnome, it would have been Kinisukar. There are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of languages in the land. Do you not think that terminology might change based on the language used?"
"He's digging at me for calling him Dolphinhead," Richter thought, hiding a smile. He liked someone that could push back if shoved.
"And of course," the Chamberlain continued dismissively, "prompts are not actually based on language." When he saw Richter's confused look, his own eyes widened in shock. "You do not think that people are actually reading prompts, do you, my lord?"
"What else would they be doing?" Richter asked with genuine confusion.
"Prompts are a law of nature, of the very cosmos," Randolphus said slowly, as if speaking to a moron. "They reflect our connection to the universe itself. Do you think that only those who are literate can understand their prompts, that everyone else just has boxes that appear in their vision that they can never understand? You do know that most of the population of Eve are illiterate, correct, my lord?"
Richter was not quite meeting his Chamberlain's gaze at this point. There was another moment of silence between the two of them. Randolphus opened his mouth to speak, but then closed it with a small, pity-filled frown. He opened his mouth to speak again, but closed it a second time. Then he just blew out a breath, loud and slow. Silence reigned until Richter couldn't take it anymore.
"Of course I knew that," he blustered. Of course you did,
the Chamberlain agreed quickly, nodding like his head was about to fall off. More silence, with both men not quite looking at each other. Richter realized he had just admitted to the equivalent of thinking the sun moved across the sky because of solar wind. Of course, everyone